While new construction is a way to create affordable housing in New York City, another option is to take advantage of the existing building stock that was intended for other purposes but is currently going unused or is underutilized. To that end, Governor Kathy Hochul signed legislation in June designed to expedite the process of converting hotels into permanent housing in the five boroughs. In light of this legislative action, we wanted to do a deep dive into the idea of converting properties into affordable housing, and to do that, we're joined by Sia Weaver, a campaign coordinator at Housing Justice for All. Welcome back to the show, Sia.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So generally speaking, what's your view on converting properties, which were not originally intended for housing, to make them into affordable housing?
Generally speaking, I think it's a good practice. It can really increase the availability of housing stock for New Yorkers, which is something that we desperately need. And it's something that there is a long history of in New York City, starting, you know, from loft conversions into residential housing, hotels into residential housing. And it's really something that that has helped to create lots of neighborhoods in New York and hopefully will continue to do so.
When conversions are done right, what are some of the hallmarks of that process?
When they're done right, it's done in a way that really emphasizes resident choice and resident engagement. And also, in addition to that, in a way that really ensures that it leads to stable and affordable housing that is safe to live in and is sort of affordable with tenants' rights in perpetuity.
And are conversions of hotels or really any vacant space a cheaper option than building new housing? Or if it's done right, does it become particularly expensive?
It is not necessarily cheaper. Conversions can be very costly. There's a lot of requirements that we have in New York to make buildings safe to live in, requirements around window size and elevator size and accessibility and things like bathrooms and plumbing. So the bill that Governor Kathy Hochul signed just a few weeks ago related to easing some zoning regulations we have in the city of New York in order to make conversions from hotels to housing easier and a little bit cheaper process-wise. But it's not necessarily cheaper to convert a building from commercial to residential.
The bill that you're talking about was touted by the governor's press team as being a bit of a game changer for this process. Do you think it will dramatically change the process of conversions, or is it possible that they're still going to face bureaucratic or political opposition that makes it challenging to convert these properties into affordable housing?
I don't think that I would have called that bill a game changer. I think that bill was a legislative fix. So last year in 2021, we passed the Housing Our Neighbors with Dignity Act, which was a, you know, big capital investment in encouraging the conversion of hotels into low-income housing for homeless New Yorkers. It would produce supportive, rent-stabilized housing with 50% of the units set aside for New Yorkers who are currently experiencing homelessness. And what we found after we set aside, you know, $100 million in the state budget in 2021 and then more in 2022 is that even though we had the resources to do the conversion, the zoning laws that we have in the city of New York were making those conversions difficult and difficult for developers to navigate. And so this money was just sitting there unused. And the bill that we passed a few weeks ago is really designed to activate this resource that we already had. But I would say the top challenge here is not the zoning code, it's the money. And if we're willing to invest what it takes in converting offices and vacant hotels into permanent housing.
If I remember correctly, when I was covering that $100 million investment in 2021, one of the concerns was that this was not a lot of money in the grand scheme of things. Is that fair to say? Is that safe to assume that $100 million could be burned through very quickly based on the availability of hotels that could be converted and how much the process could cost?
Yes, that is definitely still a concern. And it's certainly something we're going to be fighting for in perpetuity. And that's why the conversation around office conversions is very much an interesting one to me. While the tourism industry is perhaps returning to New York and maybe the window of opportunity around vacant hotels might be closing a little bit. There is very much still a live conversation about working from home and returning to the office that is active in New York. And there's opportunity still, I think, to convert office buildings into permanent housing. Again, that doesn't mean that is cheaper than new construction or even that it's easy, but it's an opportunity and it's one that we need to continue to explore.
During the assembly debate on this bill, a Queens member noted that there were Queens hotels that were being considered for potential conversion, and a handful of Queens members subsequently joined him in voting against this measure. Is there a reason why members would want to keep these conversions out of their districts?
I think the reason really comes down to discrimination. There's a lot of discrimination and there's a lot of classism when it comes to homeless housing. There's a long and gross history in New York of community boards opposing the conversion of hotels into homeless shelters, and some very brutal community board hearings where NIMBYs will come out in force and say, we don't want those types of people in our neighborhood. Homeless people are dangerous, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we saw a lot of this in the fight over the Lucerne Hotel in the Upper West Side during the pandemic. And some of those same folks are opposed to affordable housing in their neighborhood, not because they're opposed to housing or because they think it's not affordable enough, which is, you know, often what you hear in some New York developments, but because they really don't want poor people living near them. And that is real and baked into the history of, you know, United States city planning, and it's something that we have to overcome.
Well, let me reintroduce you for listeners who are just joining us. We're speaking with Sia Weaver, a campaign coordinator at Housing Justice for All, and we're talking about converting unused or underutilized properties in New York into affordable housing. And you mentioned this idea of homeless housing. Is that what some of these converted properties end up becoming? Because it's billed as a way to create affordable housing, but does, I guess, some portion of the stock go towards homeless housing or affordable housing? Is that just another name for homeless housing? How should we think about this?
So there's a difference between homeless shelters and housing that is permanently affordable, or housing that is, you know, permanent housing for people who have experienced homelessness. Once somebody is housed and they're not homeless anymore. Homelessness is not, you know, or it shouldn't be at least a permanent state. There's a lot of backlash that folks have that, like, you know, the often rich, often white, often homeowner neighborhoods will say when low-income housing gets built in particular neighborhoods. And I think we need to push back on that. And we need to really talk about what kind of city we want to be and what kind of state we want to be, and really emphasize the moral need to provide housing for low-income people in New York. The market is not providing that. And the state really needs to step up and do a better job of providing housing for low-income people. The Housing Our Neighbors with Dignity Act, which, you know, the bill that we passed last week really draws upon, is particularly about providing a housing option for people who are currently living in streets or on the shelter system. It includes provisions to provide supportive housing, which is, you know, housing with extra social services for people who are transitioning out of the shelter system, and housing that's affordable to people who make less than 50% of the area median income. So it is housing that is for people who really can't afford housing on the market right now, which is, you know, a larger and larger share of the population.
When you think about the conversions that may happen in the future with hotel properties, are you concerned at all about conversions that maybe don't go far enough to really create permanent housing and really create housing that should just be used on a temporary basis?
Yes.
Is that definition? Okay. And so what does permanent housing look like compared to, like, temporary housing?
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the big things that we fought with the state and also with some of the affordable housing providers when we were fighting to pass the Honda bill is about housing quality standards. We want to make sure that the housing that is created is housing that people can live in and people can live a dignified life in. So that means, you know, having a bathroom Having a kitchen, having a fridge, being able to cook dinner where you live, all these sorts of things. A lot of hotel conversions in the past are conversions into what are called single room occupancy, or SROs. And SROs are a very low cost housing option, but they often don't come with the same like amenities as a full apartment might, namely a kitchen. We were very clear that even though it costs more money and even though that might mean fewer conversions, we wanted to create real apartments that people could see themselves in for some time. And that's what we want to continue to be able to do.
Yeah, during the debate, the assembly member who I mentioned earlier, Jeff Aubrey, a Queens Democrat, raised the issue of basically only needing a hot plate in order to qualify for like an equipped kitchen. Is there that kind of definition shenanigans in this bill, or is he, I guess, misleading us with a concern that might not actually be something that will be realized once these conversions are happening?
Yeah, it really will depend on the building. A lot of the stuff depends on what kind of conversion is possible based on the building that gets into the conversion pipeline and what ends up being economically feasible for the developer. But Jeff Aubrey is right that the bill that was passed does not require a full stove or kitchen or oven. It requires a hot plate and a fridge and a sink. And that's something that, you know, we'd like to improve upon moving forward.
Well, with the future legislative sessions, is there something that you'd like to see done to help foster more conversions of commercial spaces as well? Or is it just about getting budget allocations to pay for those conversions?
I think it really depends. I think, what we would really like to see in future legislative sessions is a commitment to a new affordable housing preservation and construction program that puts renters and homeless New Yorkers in the driver's seat of what that program looks like. For a long time, we have had a world in which conversions are really dictated by the real estate industry, and conversions are really dictated by a pretty rigid set of term sheets that come out from the state of New York about saying, like, this is what you're going to be able to build where. And that makes it really hard to account for neighborhood conditions and like deal specific conditions when you're trying to do a hotel conversion or any office conversion. So that means that, you know, it's a lot easier for a developer to do something that looks like Hudson Yards than it is to do something that looks like a conversion of a hotel in downtown Brooklyn into housing for homeless New Yorkers. We would like to see that changed. And what we would like to see is an investment in things like limited equity cooperatives, an investment in the state being willing to take over housing from negligent landlords and converting it into housing that, you know, residents can control themselves. We'd like to see the state take action against buildings where landlords are holding units vacant. And we'd like to make it easier to convert distressed commercial space into housing for tenants.
Well, we've been speaking with Sia Weaver. She's a campaign coordinator at Housing Justice for All. Sia, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I will talk to you soon.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.